Certainly good to see everyone this evening, or this afternoon, I guess we should say. It's good that we've all chosen to be back to study another portion of God's Word and to fellowship with those of like precious faith. This afternoon, I'm going to be talking about a lesson that I had prepared the Lord's Day that Doug Hawkins was here, so if New Year's creeps into it, you'll understand why. But I think it's not just a message that's relevant for that time, but any time. When we really think about our salvation and in continuing to live a Christian life, we're going to talk about, I am resolved. And the word resolved comes from the Greek G-I-N-O-S-K-O, which means to begin to know or to begin to understand. And of course we know that this is something that too often happens to people too late. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Our text this evening is from Matthew 12, beginning of verse 33. Neither make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's very obvious when we study the scriptures that when we go before Jesus on the day of judgment, that all the actions that we do, all the things that we say, all the thoughts that we have are what is going to determine whether we spend an eternity in heaven or in a place of torment. So it's vital as Christians that we remind ourselves of this daily. And as Paul pointed out, he said he was the one who examined himself constantly to make sure that he was doing the things that God would have us to do. We know as a new year begins, it's always the tradition of people in this country and many parts around the world, I guess, to make what is known as a New Year's resolution, something about themselves that they're not happy with, whether it's quitting a bad habit like drinking or smoking or things of this nature, or losing weight. There's various things that goals that people determined to set for themselves, and usually about this time, you're about 2 weeks in, most people have already either given up or forgotten the things that they wanted to do. But as Christians, we know we constantly need to be improving ourselves spiritually and growing. As we tried to point out this morning, it's important that we let the seed fall into fertile ground and let it grow within us, that we can become stronger Christians. Also, as a new year begins, we kind of reflect back on the year that passed, and we can look back and see and realize that there were things that we may have set out to accomplish at the beginning of that year that never came to be. There may be goals that we set that we never were able to meet, or maybe we never even attempted them, and things happen and transpire, and sometimes we do set out to do things and they come to pass, and we can take a great sense of accomplishment in that. But as always, we need to realize that first and foremost, the things pertaining to being a Christian should be first in our lives. It's also a time of year when most people, not me because I'm never ready, but a lot of people probably already getting ready to prepare their tax returns. One thing I am good about as far as that kind of thing goes is I keep every receipt throughout the year that is an expense for our business because I want to try to balance that out against the debt that I owe to the government. And sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves or think about how often do we take into account the debt that we have to God. Jesus died for us on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And that is a debt that we'll spend the rest of our lives trying to repay if we have any kind of concern for going to heaven. And we can think about this, and we think about saving receipts for taxes or whatever. We can think about what if everything that we did throughout the past year, both good and bad, were written down on slips of paper or index cards. I know I have a shoebox that I use. It's a convenient thing to keep all my receipts in. But what if you had every time you did something good, you wrote it down. Every time you did something bad, you wrote it down, and you kept them in two separate boxes. How would they stack up against each other? And it's important for us, I think, to think about this and to realize that obviously the box with the good deeds needs to be full, and the ones with the bad things needs to be as empty as we possibly can make it. And if there's things in there, we need to try to resolve them and take care of them so that they're not held against us when our time comes to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. I think it's also important, too, to think about as I think about an old year ending and a new year beginning, things are going to be different, and sometimes things are going to happen that we don't expect. I know at the beginning of last year, I didn't think I'd be going into a new year without my mother around, and these kind of things happen. And unfortunately, I just had a friend of mine hit the other day on his motorcycle, and I think today they're going to unplug him. He's in the hospital. He's brain dead. Because a cop that came to the scene tried to give him CPR, and he'd already been dead for like 15 minutes, and somehow they brought his heart back, but he was already gone. But this is the kind of thing that sometimes you expect death, sometimes you don't. And when it comes as a surprise, you realize there may be things that you wanted to say to that person or things you wanted to make right with that person. And that's why in life we should always... We should always make these things right before we have to regret it. And it's important for us to remember, too, that if these things happen to us, there's a line between life and death. And as long as you're on the life side of this line, you have a chance to make things right. You have a chance to resolve things with God that you may have done contrary to Him. But once you cross over that line, there's not a thing that you or anyone else can do to correct the things that you did over here. And I think that we don't think about that or consider that often enough. And certainly we know that people out in the world don't have a care for it. But as Christians, it's our responsibility to live lives here that are going to ensure a better place for us when we do cross that line. And of course, we want to influence other people to take that step as well. We're going to look at a parable from the 16th chapter of Luke. This is a parable that Jesus taught later in the same chapters when we have the popular story of the rich man and Lazarus. We're not going to be talking about that, but we're going to talk about the things that Jesus taught and discussed in the earlier part of this chapter. And we'll begin reading with Luke chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So here we see Jesus begins to talk about a rich man who had a steward, and a steward was a title that was given to the house manager, and this was a position that was assigned by people of wealth to a hired servant that they had, or in some cases it may have even been a slave that they purchased. But this was the person who managed their home and the expenses of its upkeep. And the steward here in the reading was accused of misconduct in the use of his master's goods. In other words, he wasn't doing the job that he had been assigned to do. And we think about the illustration that Jesus is trying to make here. The master in this parable represents God, and the steward are those to whom God entrusts the perpetuation of His cause and kingdom here upon the earth, and obviously this would be those of us in the church. We know that when Jesus, right before He ascended into heaven, He told the apostles, He gave them what's known as the Great Commission to send them out into the world to preach and to teach and to baptize people into the kingdom of God. And of course, the apostles are no longer with us, so this is something that's been passed down from generation to generation in the church, is for the men of the church to take the leadership positions and to continue to build and to maintain and to perpetuate the kingdom. This parable, as we're going to see, is also a warning to us today not to misuse the things that God has provided for us to continue the upkeep of His kingdom. Obviously, these are not physical things, they're spiritual things, but we have to stand for the truth We have to use the talents and the abilities that God has given us in order to continue to build His kingdom here upon the earth. We have to use our influence, whatever influence we may have, and be good examples to others and to try to entice them into becoming members of the kingdom as well. So these are all things that God has given us. Many times we owe our ability to have them not only to God, but to the people who influence us when we're young. And as those who are brought up in the church obviously have that influence from the beginning, and those who come into the church and are converted from outside have the other people in the congregation to look up to who have been there longer and know more about the Bible and things of this nature. So it's a thing that we can help one another, and it's it really becomes like a team effort. And in order to get to heaven, we work together and we help to build and to edify one another, and we don't waste the things, either the talents or the abilities or the opportunities that God has given us. We think about how would we waste the goods, so to speak, that God provided for us today. We can waste the talent that God has given us when we don't use it to promote His kingdom. If we have the ability to speak or to lead songs or to lead prayers and we don't wish to take part in the services, we're wasting what God has given us. He's given us these abilities to use on His behalf, and we certainly need to keep our lives in a state in which we are eligible to participate, and we should participate as much as we possibly can. We can waste the money that's laid by in store. We know that we were to take up a collection on the first day of the week, and if we don't consider the things that we spend that money on and make poor decisions, we're wasting that. We're also wasting opportunity when we are not good examples to other people and can guide other people to the truth. So we see that when we become Christians, when we become stewards of God's kingdom, it's not like a 9-to-5 job where we get nights and weekends off or weeks vacation at a time and things of this nature. When we become a Christian, we've signed ourselves on to 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, from now until the time that we can't function to continue to build God's kingdom. And it's important for us, in order to do that job, to use everything that He has given us. In verse 3, "Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed.'" So right away this man thought to himself, he was in this position which obviously he must have been comfortable. It was something that he felt good in, or he wouldn't be worried about losing it. And once he realized that he had been doing something contrary to what the master wanted, he's looking at his options. He doesn't want to go dig ditches or dig graves or whatever it is that he would be digging. And he doesn't want to beg. He's got too much pride to do that. So he realizes he's got to do something to resolve this situation with his master and to get back into his good graces. The steward has obviously realized the error of his ways. And what we realize too is, unfortunately, many people never get this opportunity. As we said, you never know when you're going to be riding down the street on your way to the grocery store or something and have a car accident, or when we know that people are always being struck down by heart attacks or brain aneurysms or things of this nature. And we just never know when our life's going to be taken from us. And we should always be ready, again, because we know that if we're not ready when we cross that line, we're never going to be ready, because there's no way we can go back and resolve the things that we've done that are contrary to what God would have us to do. So it's very important for us to think about those things. Luke 16, beginning of verse 4. "I am resolved to do that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, 'How much owest thou unto my Lord?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, 'Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, 'And how much owest thou?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, 'Take thy bill, and write 4 score. Here we see the steward took the opportunity to try and make things right with his master by settling some of the accounts that were owed to his master, and these are things that he was in charge of. And by giving the debtors a discount, he was able to settle their accounts. And this we see that he did in order to have a favor returned to him should he lose his position in his master's house. So what he was doing wasn't quite on the up and up, but he was trying to resolve his situation. He was trying to use the opportunity that he found himself in to make things right. And of course, this is how we should be as well. When we realize that we've done something contrary to the Word of God, and sometimes we may find ourselves in a job or in a situation where we realize that we've gotten ourselves to a point where we're doing things that are contrary to what God wants us to do, and we don't want to just totally back out or not be responsible. But when we realize we're in that kind of a position, we have to do something to resolve it, and that's what this man did. He realized that he was at fault with his master, and he wanted to make things right. And he was doing it in a way where if he still lost his position there, these other people would feel a debt of gratitude for him because he eased their debt. Luke 16:8-9. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What Jesus here is saying is that while the steward was not just in forgiving some of the debt, he was wise in that he used that situation to his advantage in a preparation for the future. The term the mammon of unrighteousness here refers to the talents and opportunities that men are given in this life. We see many people, and we know people that have great talents and abilities, and some of them use them for God's purpose, and some of them don't. And it, of course, it's a detriment to them if they don't use them for the purpose of serving God, because one day they're going to be called in question by that on the day of judgment. If we use the gifts that God has given us towards pleasing Him, we gain His favor, and when we depart this life, we know that we've done everything that we could to serve God in spirit and in truth, and we're going to receive a reward for that. Verses 10 through 13 of Luke 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The point Jesus is trying to make here is that in this life we have to decide who our master really is. If we desire to serve God and do the things that He would have us to do, then we have to consider Him our master and do all the things that are pleasing to Him. And sometimes these are things that may put us in conflict with others. We may have a job. We may take a job, and all of a sudden the boss comes along one day and says, well, you're going to have to start working on Sunday morning. And that's when you have to take a stand. Or they may ask you to do something that you know is wrong. And even though that's your means of employment, you have a decision to make. Are you going to keep doing the things that God would have you to do? Or are you going to serve mammon, which is money or riches? And God certainly doesn't ask us not to have goals in life. We have nice homes and cars that we work for. But these things should never be, we never should put these things or the desire to obtain them ahead of desiring a kingdom in heaven. Because we know the scriptures tell us when we put God first, everything else falls into place. And He will continue to bless us. And sometimes we don't understand why He continues to bless those who don't worship Him or even acknowledge His existence. But as Brother Dennis mentioned in his prayer, God has a plan, and as we try to bring forward this morning, there's a lot of the things that are in God's plan that's beyond man's understanding. But we know that God is in control. He's in charge of all things. And sometimes we see things happen, and we're not sure we understand why, But when we realize and accept that it's all part of God's plan, it makes it easier for us to understand, and in some cases to put up with, and helps us to understand that He's in control. And this is certainly, we want to be on His side. We see the things that happen, we certainly don't want God against us. We want Him for us. And we do this by living the best life that we possibly can. And when we find ourselves in conflict with the things that God would have us to do, we have to resolve those and take care of them. I'd like to close by reading a few of the verses of number 642. It's a song that we sing quite often called I Am Resolved. And again, the idea here is a person who is resolved begins to understand. And as always, we should continue to try to have an understanding of the things that God would have us to do. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, He is the just one, He hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I am resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Obviously, the author of this song understood the path that Christians are to walk, and we need to resolve ourselves also to continue on that path as well. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson. As always, we offer the services of the church to those who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing?